To all of you, we're glad that you're here at Grace Bible Church. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to Mark chapter 5. And it's the account that's given to us beginning at verse 21 of Jairus' daughter and how he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and asks him to come to his house to heal his child. And then while Jesus is moving toward that place, he's interrupted. And it's a woman who has an issue of blood. And there are several verses that are dedicated to this woman who has come. She's miraculously healed. She's transformed. And then we find verse 35 of Mark chapter 5. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" I couldn't help but just think about that question. Now, you know the end of the story, because you've read it. Does the girl live again? Yes, she does. She's brought forth from the grave because it's Jesus. But notice, please, the response of the servants and the thought that's prominent here in the question. All right? Why troublest thou the master any further? Now, that question says something. They did not believe that he had the power beyond just a miracle performed while the person's alive, right? Don't bother him. She's dead. Because they used regular human things. We don't go to a funeral home and expect the person lying in the casket to sit up and say, "Hey, what are y'all doing here?" We don't expect that. We know that that person is gone physically. And yet, what did these men fail to note about the miracles of Jesus Christ? They failed to note His power. His power to bring back to life. I think some Christians many times live with that, "Well, I'm not going to bother the Master with this. This situation, you know, we'll pray for someone who is struggling with stage 4 or stage 5 cancer," and a lot of people say, "Why bother the Master? They're going to go ahead and die anyway." Prayer and seeking the Lord's face not only benefits the person you're praying for, but it benefits you. Because you're saying, "God, I know You're powerful and that You can deliver this person if You choose." What does that do for me? That helps me to understand that it's not a frail attempt that we have at crying out to God, but we still have the same powerful God. And He can do whatever He chooses. And that's why we seek Him out in prayer. Let's be careful that we're not like the servants that said, "Hey, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the Master any further?" They did not believe. They did not believe that the Master was powerful enough to come and raise this little girl back to life. And that's exactly what He did. Amen? We have the record. There was an interruption. Oh, why do people have to interrupt? I've got an important situation here. My daughter's dying. Message comes back. She's dead. In their minds, this was all done. Oh, how we need to be reminded every hour of every day, in the midst of all the rioting, in the midst of COVID-19 and all the chaos that's around the world right now, who's in charge? God Almighty, the Master. And I just have to trust Him that He's big enough and that He's powerful enough to deliver His people because He said He would. May God help us to have a higher understanding of our God than these servants did of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's begin by singing number 301. It goes along with what our pastor just said. Only Trust Him, number 301. We'll sing all three verses, number 301. Stand together to sing. As our brother David comes to lead us this morning.
If y'all would please bow your heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord, and we thank you for all the blessings that you constantly provide for us, Lord. Thank you for allowing each and every one of us to come here today to worship you and to hear your mighty word, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with those that are in line in the storm right now, Lord, that you keep them safe and protect them and guide them, Lord. And if they need to evacuate, Lord, we just pray that you give them the wisdom to do that. Lord, we ask that you be with our country now as we've got all this fighting and strife going on, Lord, and that you be with each and every individual out there, Lord, the protesters, the rioters, those that are just sitting at home, Lord, that you just reach out and you touch everybody's heart and help them to understand what your will be. Lord, we just ask these things as we go throughout our day, Lord, and we ask that you be with the pastor as he brings our message today, or your message, Lord, that we can apply it in our daily walk with you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you be with all those that are sick and needy, and Lord, that you be with those that are mentioned in the bulletin, Lord. Just keep them safe and strong. Those that are sick, Lord, just heal them, Lord, and mend them. And Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and we'll turn now to number 256. Number 256, as we continue to sing, I Will Praise Him, number 256.
I will praise Him.
turn now to number 175 in our hymn books. Number 175, open my eyes that I may see. Number 175, we'll sing just verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, number 175.
Open my eyes that I'm not afraid to
God's people said, Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We are continuing in our series. I'm hoping that we're going to make some really good strides today and perhaps even conclude this series that I began at the beginning of the year on an ideal marriage. And we're looking specifically at helping young people to find and to look for the right spouse, asking God to lead and direct, and having a set of principles in place that you don't violate, that you make sure that you follow as you are looking for God's best for you in marriage. We got through the first three and shared the things that were not on our list last time. And I'm going to pick up with number four today, and that is this question. Does this person treat others with respect and kindness? Does this person treat others with respect and kindness? Watch how they treat other people. This is an important thing. I want you to look with me, please, at Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. I want to begin reading at verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you think America needs this message today? Absolutely. We need this message today. That we may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The idea there and that word perfect that's used there is the word mature, to come to maturity. We need this message today. We are watching our nation implode with values that are not found in the Word of God, but rather values that are found in universities and public colleges and have been taught in our public school systems that if you want change, hit the road, hit the riots, do all those kind of things. We're seeing the pre-placement of bricks put out in boxes that are normally for the collecting of things that need to be, you know, turned back in, like empty bottles and glass recycling boxes. They're putting bricks in those to preset them out on the road so they can use them at night to bust windows and stuff. I want to tell you something. That's not going to accomplish anything but raise the level of chaos in our country. We need to understand that we are watching the outcome of years of teaching that says it's all right for me to destroy your business to get what I want socially and politically. It's okay for me to do that. But don't you dare meet in your church during COVID-19. It's all right for us to run out on the streets and hold hands and be spitting on people and doing all that. That's what's been going on. That's all right. But you folks meeting in church, we can't have that. Do you see the utter foolishness of what we're witnessing today? The pendulum of reasoning is going this way, it's going that way, and actually there's no reasoning at all. It's just emotion and feeling. So, with that in mind, what am I to look for in the traits of someone that I'm going to be married to for the rest of my life? Because that's what we're teaching from the Bible. Marriage is for keeps. That's our desire. We want our children to learn that. But we also want our children to grow up and to find that right individual. When you go to a restaurant, how do they treat the waiters or waitresses? Now, you want to get me upset? I have spoken to people that have spoken very ill to a waiter or a waitress. I've gotten up from my table and walked over to them. I said, listen, you owe this person respect because you don't know what goes on behind the door. So you're trusting them to bring you good food, and you're trusting them to serve them. Why are you mistreating them here? It bugs me to no end, people that treat waiters and waitresses like they're dirt, like they're little slaves to run around and then put no tip other than a buck up there, and that's how we're going to roll with this. I think that we need to get back some Christian values in our thinking. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do for you? Oh, He only came from eternity, leaving behind all the glories of heaven. He condescended and took upon Himself flesh to dwell here on this earth, and He went to the cross and shed His blood for all the sinful human beings of eternity, past, present, and future. That's what He did for you. And you can't be nice to a waiter or a waitress or someone of a service individual? What's wrong with you? It's pride and arrogance. I'm someone special. I need to be treated up here like this. Let me tell you, you just need to thank God that they let you in the door of the restaurant. Because I've been knocking on a few in Milton, they still got them locked up. I got out of my truck the other day. Someone had told me, hey, so-and-so, open back up. I went over, they hadn't opened back up. And everybody in line's looking at me. Okay? You talk about dumb. I'm in there looking, and I thought they were supposed to be open. I was talking to myself. I thought they were supposed to be open. You know? Somebody told me that. And all these people were sitting in line behind me watching me. Yeah? So I crawled back in my truck and I left. Okay? Yeah. Listen, we need to ask those kind of questions. How do they treat their siblings? Respect is demonstrated in many ways. Respect can be demonstrated by not cutting people off when they're speaking. Boy, today, I get so upset trying to watch a news program where they're all talking over each other. All right? I've got hearing problems. All right? And it's bad enough that I've got my knob turned up because I don't like to wear my hearing aids when I'm sitting in the chair or whatever. I don't know what it is. I just take them out. I'm tired of doing it. And I'll sit down there just talking all over each other. And if I get in a restaurant and everybody's talking, it's just garbled. I'm not getting anything. Let somebody finish their sentence. Is that okay? Now, you would think in 2020, we would know how to respect each other. All right? If Brother Richard asked me a question, I ought not to cut him in the middle of his question to say, hey, let me tell you something. I've got something to tell you. When he's asking me a question. That would be what we call in Old English rude. I know we don't use that word anymore. We don't have any idea what it means. Because we cut people off all the time. Now, if I was looking for a wife and I was 18, 19, and 20, don't you want to find somebody that's sweet and nice and listens? And a young lady looking for a husband, do you want to find somebody that listens and lets you get the words out before he cuts you off? There's little signals and flags that go up, and you can learn and pay attention. Man, this guy won't let you say two words. Walk on by. Go the other way. Save yourself a lot of heartache. Now, this is practical. And some people would never ever put this on the list, but I think it's important. If they won't listen before you get married, what makes you think they're going to listen after you get married? A lot of people say, well, I'm going to change them. Good luck. Good luck. Has anybody ever stopped the sun from coming up in the morning? Okay. Ever stopped the moon from coming up? Stars in the heavens? Anybody out here can stop the tropical storm coming into New Orleans right now? No! And I'll tell you something else. You're not going to change somebody. You're not going to change somebody. Well, I'm going to bring them to Jesus and I'm going to make them different. Let me tell you something. Don't ever think that you're more powerful than God. Only God saves souls, amen? Only God does that. I don't save souls. The Lord Jesus saves souls. So don't think you can do more than the Lord Jesus. Ask important questions. How does He view women? How does he or she view your parents? Is he a hothead? Does he fly off the handle in a rage with the least provocation? Is she loving toward children? Does she flirt with other men? Does he flirt with other girls? I mean, you think that's an important question to find out. Be paying attention. If he's flirting around, if he's supposed to be, you know, my boyfriend, and he's flirting with other girls, what does that make me? What does that make me? Shouldn't we ask those questions? I think so. Teenager, college student that's here today, you got to be paying attention. You got to ask questions. You got to view things through the lens of the Bible, okay? Or you'll get whatever consequences come. This is a huge indicator of where the heart is and how they will treat you over the long haul. You want a spouse who will value and love you without preconditions. Unconditional love. That's what you want. I wish we had time to look at some of the other passages. Well, let's turn over to chapter 7 real quick. That's nearby in Matthew. Verse 12. I've got it highlighted in my Bible. Right here. It's been highlighted ever since I got my Bible here. One of my favorite verses. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is one of the greatest principles of the New Testament right here. How do you want to be treated? If you want to be treated with kindness, you want to be treated with integrity, you want to be treated as a thing, then don't mistreat other people. We somehow exclude ourselves from that. That's a great principle for other people. I want all the people I know to operate by that principle, but not me. Moi? Have to follow this? Yeah. And we need to be asking the questions that are proper. Number 5, does this person understand and exercise unconditional love? This flows from number 4, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Do they do things out of the kindness of their heart, or are they opportunists? We've been seeing opportunists on display for the last 2 weeks. We've seen opportunists on display for the last 2.5 months. Opportunists. What is an opportunist? They're looking at everything that's going on and saying, how can I get benefited out of this for me? I don't care who I step on. I don't care who I hurt. What can I do to get something good for me? An opportunist only sees people for the benefit they can receive through their connections. I want to turn real quick to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This is a very rich passage of Scripture. The whole first epistle is wonderful, but these verses of Scripture bring this out. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not whom? God. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? He that doesn't love God, doesn't know God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to talk about, must, ought, duty. Those important words that come out in the Bible. Here's an ought here. What should we do? We ought also to love one another. That's what the Bible says. Oh, how we get twisted up and we start calling things love that aren't even close to being biblical definition of love. You want to know what love is? Study the Bible and study God. You'll find out what love is. Love is sacrificial. Love is not selfish. Number 6, does this person have integrity? What is integrity? Integrity is simply being what you advertise yourself to be. Right? You ever seen false advertising? Yeah. Boy, there's false advertising all the time. Quality, integrity. Are they an honest person? An authentic soul is a rare jewel. somebody that's authentic. They're real. They are what they say they are. If you have found someone who has this quality, you better hold on to them. Amen? You better hold on to them. If a person tells countless lies and shows no remorse, run as fast as you can in the opposite direction. They're a liar, and they're going to be a liar. They're going to continue to lie. Proverbs has the most to say about this, and you don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read very quickly here. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 9 says this, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." Right? I was watching a documentary on World War II, and D-Day, June the 6th, 1944, that was remembered the other day. And we've got Flag Day coming up. We've got July 4th. And I was just watching some of these documentaries on that. They were showing the men coming off of the troop ships being greeted by their families. Some of them were carried off because they were missing limbs. One of the young men that came off on a troop ship that came in from the Pacific Theater was included in a film called The Best Years of Our Lives. It was about a young man that lost, he was a football player, and he came back and he had lost his arms. And he had to be taught how to use things and so forth like that, and he struggled to get back to normal here in the States and couldn't help it. Here was this young man, and they have pictures of him in the movie, the actual pictures of him, showing him throwing a football, posing for that, and now his arms were gone because of an explosion that took place. And I thought about all the thousands upon thousands of men that came back missing arms, limbs, you know, having to adapt to life and trying to live life. You know what? You have to accept them as they are now, not as they were. And you know, that's hard for some people. It's hard for some people to live honestly, to live honestly. We had a young man that came home in our community right after the Persian Gulf War in 1991, who had lost his legs in the war. He got back. His wife took one, looked at him, said, "I can't deal with this," and left him. Four little children. And all I could think about, the community stepped up, built him a house. I can remember the community contractors, people donating building supplies to build him a house and widen the doors so he could be able to get in and out with his four children. But the wife just did not have the ability within her to love him because he wasn't the same looking. He wasn't the same. Now, what does unconditional love come from? It comes from a genuine heart. A genuine heart. You need to look for that, young people. Is this person genuine? Or are they a fake and a fraud? You ask God, He'll show you. He'll show you what to look for. Number 7. Does this person display genuine loyalty and dependability? Loyalty and dependability used to be words that you heard a lot in Christian churches all across America, but that's changed now. We've substituted other things. We have to make change, and if we have to lie, steal, cheat, do whatever we have to do to make that change, that's okay. That's not biblical. That's not right. Do they display genuine loyalty? This is the best observed in how they treat their family and friends. Can you count on them to carry out what they have said they will do? Have you taken the time to observe this quality in the one you are falling in love with? Have you taken the time to look for this quality? Do they have a quality that they do what they say that they will do? How many of you remember the story of Abraham Lincoln? A man overpaid in the little general store which he worked at, paid 5 cents. The man had left, and he realized at the end of the day that this man had overpaid, so he walked 8 miles and delivered the nickel to the man's house because he knew the man needed the money and walked all the way back. Abraham Lincoln's mommy and daddy weren't there to say, "Oh, you need to go take that thing." It was inside of him. You know why it was inside of him? Because it was put there. Teaching of honesty and integrity. And you need to look for that. You need to look for that. Somebody that'll cheat and steal somebody else will cheat and steal from you Don't ever forget about that. It works both ways, yeah?
Well, he doesn't steal anything from me.
You're a fool. He will. She will. A loyal and faithful spouse is a steadfast support system amid inevitable change. I underlined that in your notes that I gave out last week. Oh, how important. I'm not going to take time to look at those four passages of Scripture, but I want to tell you something. The Bible has a great deal to say about loyalty and dependability. What's the requirement for a steward? According to the Apostle Paul, that a man be found faithful. What's the one requirement? That a man be found faithful. Number 8. Does this person sharpen me or blunt me as a believer? Do they sharpen me or do they blunt me as a believer? Do you complement each other's strengths and weaknesses? I firmly believe in this, that there are no accidents in marriage. Dr. Hobbs used to say that all the time when we were growing up. There are no accidents in marriage. You go into it knowing what you're getting for the most part. Some people find out later on that there were some things they didn't notice before. Usually it's because we didn't pay attention. But there are things that you know about when you get together. And when my wife and I came together back in 1992, we're coming up on our 28th anniversary. And, you know, the Lord just complimented us. She is the neatest person I've ever met in my whole life. And my kids have said this about living in our house. When they walk in the door, it's the cleanest, neatest place that they've been all day long. Now, she has that ability to do that. I certainly didn't get that gene. All right? I walk in the house with my shoes on. Now, if my wife's standing there, all she does is go, glance down. That's a signal. It's raining outside. Now, Ben, you know nothing about this, so I don't know why you're laughing. He's probably glad because he can kick off his shoes. He don't have to worry about it. Just James will get on his case, right? But anyway, you do. I walk in the house, and I've walked in, you know, walked through the sand or walked through the mud. She'll glance down. That's my signal. Pull my shoes off, all right? Because she wants a clean house. I have a standing joke. I will turn on the news. It's 7 o'clock, news time for me, all right? Inevitably, my wife is pulling the vacuum cleaner out at the same time when the news comes on. How many of you have experienced this? Nobody wants to do that because your wives are nearby, right? I'll peek out the door, honey, I'm fixing to turn the TV on. Are you going to vacuum now? And you'll hear the door rustling around. She'll come to my room real quick, and then she's out the door, all right? She loves neatness and clean. God put us together. God knew I needed that big time. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that our four kids experienced that all through their growing up years. Hopefully it'll rub off. Right, Brian? He's like a bobblehead doll back there. Yes. All right. Do they blunt or do they help sharpen? Saying yes when a person should say no, especially on the use of money, can be a source of marriage problems. Got to know that. Got to know that. Got to be in agreement about that. Number 9. Here's a big one. This is Dr. Hobbs talking this morning from in my childhood because he used to emphasize this. This was always on Dr. Hobbs' list when it was looking for the right mate. Do they have a sense of humor? All right. You got to be able to laugh. And we all do dumb stuff. This morning, I tried to put the gym on top of the roof. That's dumb. All right. But I laughed. You know, I got to learn to laugh when I say something stupid. All right? And, you know, we have lost that today. You look at all the troubled faces in this world. You stand in line, socially distancing, of course, now. So now it's a long view distance of the person that's up there. And they'll put down their coupons, their book that they brought in of coupons. And you're sitting there waiting through the stack. You don't need that one. You didn't purchase that. Yes, I did. You know? It's not in your basket. I purchased that. I know I put it in my basket. Well, it's not there. And we argue back and forth and back and forth until finally she realized she didn't put it in her basket after all. And the lady was being nice, giving her the coupon back. And so you sit there and wait, and you listen on either side of you, all the complaining and the argument. Y'all don't have this. Well, COVID-19, hello. Riots, hello. Yeah, they didn't have your favorite little box of gum. Get over it. Go to another store. This is America. But we chew out this poor cashier at the desk that didn't stock the shelves. They're just trying to put food on their table for their family, and we're bawling them out because they didn't have Juicy Fruit or Wrigley's. They had a Great Value brand substitute. All right? And they're just cutting loose because this is the end of their world. God help you, and God spare you, young person, from being married to one for the rest of your life. Amen? You have a sense of humor. You got to be able to cut up and joke and laugh at yourself. When you trip on the invisible root out of the yard as you're trying to get into the house, just laugh at yourself. Yep. Todd being Todd. Yeah, tripping on his own feet, going in the door. You got to learn to laugh. People that take themselves too seriously will take themselves too seriously for the rest of those days. And that marriage is a long thing. Amen? It's a long thing. Do you have a sense of humor? Did you know the Bible has some Bible verses to say about this? Let's look at one. Look at Proverbs 15 very quickly. Proverbs 15. I'll just do one of these. Look at verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Really? Everybody say, yeah, that's right. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And some people, bless their hearts, they live with broken spirits. They're broken all the time. We need to look for somebody that's got a sense of humor. Number 10, is this person good with children? Are they good with children? Now, sometimes time is a great healer. And you can learn to do better at things. I don't necessarily mean that this is a deal breaker. But, you know, how are they with children? Are they awkward? Do they think that children should be banned from the planet? If they do, it's very unlikely you're going to have children. All right? It's not going to happen. So do they love children? They love being around children. The ability to be gentle, kind, and tender with children will be a plus if you plan on having children. It's not a deal breaker, but it is nice to have a person who loves children at your side when you're having to take care of them. All right? Now get this, boys. You need to learn how to change a dirty diaper. You know, there's some men, they make up rules. I don't do that. Okay? This is what I say to those individuals. When you're in the nursing home and you got on your Depends, we're not doing that. Yeah. Comeuppance time. We're not doing that. How does that sound? You wouldn't help your wife? You wouldn't step up and help out when you were needed? What goes around comes around. Let's move on. Told you we're going to get done. We got 5 minutes as a point for every minute here with a wrap up. Number 11, does this person build you up or tear you down? Learn this when you're in the process of dating. Do they tear you down or do they build you up? Do they make you a better person or do they cause you to sink down into childish adolescent behavior? Spiritual, mental, and emotional damage from a spouse can take the longest to heal. Your spouse should build you up and protect you in all areas of life. And you need to learn that before you say, I do. Before. You need to learn that. Romans 14 is a passage that comes to mind. I'll just share it with you. You don't need to turn there. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says this, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. You know what edify simply means? It means to build up the other, to encourage, to build them up. Do they build you up or tear you down? Number 12. Is this person a good listener? Now, we touched on this before in one of the other ones, but I emphasize it again here at the end because I know you already forgot what we talked about before. So we're going to mention it again. Are they a good listener? Watch their listening style and see if they're truly hearing you or just waiting to make their next point. You know how you've talked with people having a conversation and they're like trying to interrupt when you're trying to make a point? All right? That's not a good listener. And what you just said hasn't impacted them in the least. That's why we teach little children at Santa Rosa Christian School to listen. Look me in the eye. I've got something very important I need to share with you. In my years, disciplined children, Dr. Watt gets to do that now. But in my years, I always made them stand in front of me and look me in the eye. I never spoke until they were looking me in the eye. Because I wanted to look right down into their soul. If they wouldn't look at me, I just was quiet. I didn't say a word. Why? Because they're not going to listen to a word I say unless I have their attention. I wasn't mean, wasn't ugly, just as quiet as I am now. I need you to look me in the eye. I've got something very important to share with you. Look me in the eye right now. And then once I got their eye contact, I could communicate with them. And if they darted their eyes away, you looked away. I need you looking at my eyes. You know what will disarm a person? Is making eye contact with them. If they've got something to hide, they're going to be darting away. They're not going to pay attention. Why? They got something to hide. They don't like it when you're looking at them. We've met people throughout life. There's certain individuals that just have the ability. I mean, John Ashbrook, when he was alive, and by the way, this week in the Manila, Philippines, they started translating John Ashbrook's materials into Tagalog. And all of his books, all of his materials. And I wrote a little note to the group that was doing that, and I said, thank you so much. This material needs me. Axioms of Separation was our first one. Right? Tremendous man of God. But whenever you were looking at him, he would not say anything. He'd just look at you. And you just, you know, he would be thinking about what he was going to say, but he wasn't talking. And nobody would be talking. It'd be kind of awkward. He's thinking about what he's saying. And then when he spoke, he had something to say. Oh, that we could return to that. We have got the countless opinions spouted on the news all the time from minds that haven't thought 2 seconds about what they're saying. Have no idea. Is the person a good listener? Number 13, does this person practice good hygiene? Pastor Brainerd, why did you put that on the list? That's kind of personal. I want to tell you something. Somebody that smells bad, it is personal. Now, having taught middle school, I'm an expert. Taught middle school for years. And they'd come in from PE. Oh, I know the crown that I'm going to cast in Jesus' feet is going to be one of having to put up with middle school odors. I know that I'll have something up there that I'll have because I endured that. You smell those smells and you quietly pull them and say, hey, you need to buy some deodorant. Put it in your PE bag. And while you're at it, get one of those little Christmas trees and put it in your PE bag. Okay? And it might be good that you got a whole pack to put in your PE bag. All right? We all know. Does the person have practiced good hygiene? Are they neat and clean? The expression cleanliness is next to godliness is not in the Bible. I looked. But it is sure a good standard to have in place, isn't it? This is a huge factor. It goes to character and good upbringing. If he or she smells bad and looks scruffy all the time, why? Why? Are you willing to live with this for 50 or 60 years? Some people, they don't know. They just don't honestly know. So it's important that we teach our children good hygiene. Brushing their teeth. Washing themselves well. Don't just throw a bar of soap in the tub and think it's just going to happen somehow. You got to teach them. You got to teach them how to soap up that rag. Or maybe it's one of those little scrunchy things. Okay, that's what my wife puts in there. And you put the soap all in there. You squirt the body wash in there and you get it all soapy. And you scrub. Some of you are looking at me like, what is he doing? Yeah, we got to teach that. Let me ask you something. Do you want your 20-something-year-old to find them a good mate? What should we be emphasizing when they're little? Learn how to take a bath so they don't drive off the other person or drive off all their friends. Very, very important. Very, very important. Last one. I told you we were going to get done. Does this person conduct wholesome communication? Do they bother to ask questions and do their homework on issues of life-changing import? Did they take the time? Is this person who you have affections for someone who communicates lust or genuine love? Do they take the conversation to areas that are questionable? Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, what you love and what you hate reveal what you are. What you love and what you hate reveal what you are. I want to close with Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 today as our final verse here because this is so important. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You're responsible for how you talk. You're responsible for what you say. If someone asks for advice, don't spit out the latest thing that you read in the newspaper or the last magazine you read. Could we think it through and have something worthy, something of wisdom to share with people? We need to take the time, and I've spent a lot of time dealing with the ideal marriage because they don't happen by accident. They don't happen by accident. They happen when two purposeful people come together and are committed to each other for the rest of their life. They put aside selfishness, put aside their own things. And people that don't put aside selfishness and do put aside their own personal things are going to have problems. Going to have problems. I want to encourage our young people this morning. This is not an exhaustive list. You know where to find all the answers? Right here. You know what you need to do? You need to spend time together with the one that you're interested in. Spend time in the Bible. If you're not spending time now, it's very unlikely that you'll spend time together after you get married. That's just a fact. Been around too long. Okay? Got the gray hair. Been around 34 years of ministry. I've seen it all. And I'm telling you, it's very unlikely. If you don't want to spend time in this book before you get married, it's very unlikely you'll spend time in this book after you get married. It won't be a principle upon which you build your family's life and you're in for problems and troubles. May God help us to seek to have ideal marriages for our children, for our grandchildren, and that means older folks, we got to be praying and we got to be setting the example. We've got to teach the younger men and teach the younger women. That means we've got to take an active interest in them. That's where Sunday school comes in. That's where youth group comes in. That's where personal time at home with devotions come in. That's where it comes where we live our lives according to the Bible in front of our young people because our lives, the Bible says, is an open epistle read of all men, our lives. May God help us to consider what the Word of God has said about those characteristics that we should look for in a spouse. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, we've covered a lot in a little bit of time. But I pray that these folks will take these things home, spend time looking at the Bible verses, and then instill them in their children. Put them up on plaques around the house, notes with Bible verses on the refrigerator, in the bathroom. Saturate our children with the Word of God so they'll know it. Help us not to assume that church is going to be enough. It's not. It's an encouragement, no doubt about it. But it's not enough. We have to live it at home. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to instruct our young people to look for the right kind of people as they seek to get married someday. I pray that they might know God's best in their lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll close with number 453, that in these characteristics we've seen and in looking for our spouse, that we would know the way of the Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord, number 453. We'll stand together and sing that last verse. Our first verse, verse number one.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace, O Lord, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, for my faith lacks thy sight.
Father, thank you for this message that we've heard and these different characteristics that our pastor has emphasized. And Father, I pray that we would know your way, even when looking for a young person to marry. I pray for all of our young people, Lord, you would guide them, and they would study your way, they would know your word. Then help us, Father, those that have been married and maybe for many years, that we would continue in your ways and continue to follow with what your word has for us. Now bless each family here, Father, and we do pray that you would just keep all of us safe, especially with the storm that's coming, and that we would continue to honor you and be back tonight for your service. In Christ's name, amen. Lord bless you.